So our next speaker is the co-host of one of our guest movie podcasts tonight, of Alcohollywood. The website's alcohollywood.com. Another member of the Chicago Podcast Co-op, and in his podcast, hosts and guests watch and discuss the movie and make a cocktail based on that movie, and that's awesome. He is also part of the Chicago Indie Film Critics Circle. Put your hands together for Clint Worthington.
What's up, everybody? I'm going to end the sentiment that Dwight is doing a great job.
Yes.
Eric, you hear that? Coming for you. And by the way, Mike, thank you for your story. I feel deeply personally attacked by that extremely relatable content. Vis-a-vis Rogue One. I've had actual arguments like that, and now I feel deeply terrible about it. But justifiably so thank you. So I'm here because I want to tell you a story about the first movie I ever made and how it almost ended because I got caught not watching porn. I've been in love with movies from a very young age. Trouble is, I grew up as an only child on a small farm just outside Bushnell, Illinois, deep in the heart of what I now know is the part of the state that wishes Chicago would secede from the rest of the state or sink into Lake Michigan so they didn't have to deal with all us dadgum Democrats and our gun-free zones. As a sci-fi nerd, movie lover, only child growing up in figurative isolation, I didn't get out much, so movies were pretty much my only respite. Luckily, thanks to my parents getting satellite TV, sidebar, it was pirated, when I was a teen, and an overall lack of actual things to do, I grew up on a steady diet of Mystery Science Theater 3000, the Mike Nelson years, goddammit, IFC's Samurai Saturdays, and those early 80s anime movies they'd show on the Sci-Fi Channel Saturday mornings before we all realized animated boobs shouldn't be on the screen when children were watching. As soon as I got my driver's license, I'd go out to the local Family Video, a regional chain that, by the way, is still going, ironically, because they have a porn section in the back. Let's not, every time you drive past a Family Video, understand this reality, and rent 5 movies a week for $1 a piece. So I was able to go through the alphabet of classic and not so classic film, as it were. So as a result, I became the pretentious film nerd / anime weeb in central Illinois, surrounded by meathead farm boys and future National Guard recruits. So adolescence was a blast for me. Cut to film term. My junior year history class, in which our teacher, Mr. Davis, allowed us to do an open-ended project each quarter. It could be anything. And so I knew this was my big break. I would make a movie. I would realize my adolescent dreams of becoming a filmmaker, capital F. But it had to be about history, and about the history we were talking about right then, in that particular unit. It's a real big ask to make someone do an epic historical costume drama for their debut feature, but I figured, hey, if Ridley Scott can do it, why can't I? Sidebar, that movie in question is The Duelists. Push-up glasses. Just to give you a snapshot as to what movies I grew up watching, the project I ended up making was titled Being George Washington. 3 guesses as to what that reference is. The plot is about a hapless high school student played by my fellow classmate Spencer, who wanders from the cafeteria of our school to the band room, where he finds a mysterious, oddly person-sized cardboard box laying on its side. This sequence is like a quarter of the film's runtime, because I was convinced my classmates would love watching Spencer just saunter across the school to an Amy Mann song from the Magnolia soundtrack. Again, I was cool. Driven by nothing other than sheer contrivance, he gets on his knees and crawls into the box, and he gets pulled through the box into who else? The body of George Washington himself. Now, does my film feature him crossing the Delaware? Chopping down a cherry tree? Nope! Just secretly meeting with British Major John Andre during the Revolutionary War, as the real Washington did in 1780. Not at a log cabin in a state park in Illinois, probably, but hey, art thrives on limitation. I held the camera, so I played Washington, and my best friend Ryan played John Andre. I don't remember what the scene itself was about, and I can in no way vouch for its accuracy. For one thing, I don't think they wore Civil War uniforms in the 1700s. They were borrowed from our junior high principal, who was a Civil War aficionado. Civil War aficionado. Bleep. Again, Central Illinois. Anyway, yada yada yada, the two blather on about nothing in near pitch black conditions and incredibly grainy DV footage. Lighting is for the weak. Until we see a bright flash added in an iMovie, and Spencer climbs out of a dumpster just outside the school for some reason. Roll credits. For what it's worth, the class loved it. Mr. Davis marveled. It looks like a real movie with editing and everything. To be fair, it was easily the best of the three short film projects submitted for the class, and I submit the least racist because I used editing and everything. Of course, I didn't edit all of it. Turns out, in the middle of the editing process, I would be kicked out of the computer lab for the rest of the semester because Mrs. Krebs, the computer lab administrator, would look through the browser history of the computer I was using to edit. Turns out, she would find a URL in that history for a website called Ingrish.com, which was a comedy website of pictures of humorously odd uses of English in Japanese signs, products, and clothing. Forgive me, I went to an all-white school in the early 2000s in rural downstate Illinois. I promise I genuinely didn't know better. And yes, there is an adult section. Not of porn, mind you. Just slightly raunchier instances of times when someone would throw fuck or other sexual terms on a t-shirt or whatnot apropos of nothing. Of course, seeing a URL that ends in adult.html understandably sets off red flags for an educator. So, I couldn't convince her that I wasn't actually looking at porn without getting her to actually click on the website, which was a non-starter. So Ryan had to finish the editing process for me, with me basically directing him by remote. Those small hiccups aside, being George Washington would become my directorial debut. It went over so well, though, that I would end up doing another film for Mr. Davis's class the following semester. This time it was my Vietnam War epic Ambush, which I filmed in the woods behind my house and the state park that I used before, because nothing says the steaming jungles of North Vietnam like oak trees and cornfields in November. It was a strange creature that jumbled together my love for Oliver Stone's Platoon, the action ballet of John Woo and Quentin Tarantino, and, curiously enough, the musical stylings of the Bare Naked Ladies. Even though I stopped making short films after college, after figuring out it was way easier to just become a film critic and talk about movies other people were making, I look back fondly on those early little movies, messy and dumb as they were, as some of my most unabashed attempts at, shall we say, creativity.
I also grew up in a very small town, and I'm not white, and it's not easy.